How's everyone doing? Welcome to another live. Happy New Year to everybody. This is our first live since the New Year. So we wish everybody a Happy New Year that's tuning into this live show and everyone that'll watch this live show afterwards. We hope you have a very happy, healthy, and prosperous 2021. And let's hope for a much better year. Saying that, we already have some good news to start off the new year. Alexander, I'm going to just get right into this story. It is breaking news. Everybody that is watching us in the live stream, thank you very much. Thank you to everybody for your New Year's wishes as well. Thank you to everyone that has that follows our videos, likes our videos, supports the channel, has purchased from the Durant Shop, has donated to us, to our PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, YouTube members. Thank you very much, everybody. We really appreciate your support, and we are working hard to get even more content out to you. 2021, we have the Durant channel, and we need your help to get to, let's try to get to 150,000 YouTube subscribers. Let's try to get to 10,000 subscribers on BitChute. We're very close. We are on Rumble and Odyssey as well and growing there. And we have my channel. If you guys subscribe to my channel, you'll find the link down below. I am close to 20,000 subscribers, so help me get there. And we have an announcement, and that is that Alexander Mercurius has his YouTube channel as well. You will find the link for that down below. And it's only been up for like 2 days, I think, two, 3 days. And it has already passed 1,000, I believe 200 or 1,250 subscribers. So guys, you will find all those links down below. And we have some very good breaking news regarding Julian Assange. So hello to everybody in the live stream, wherever you're watching in the world. Thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart. You guys made 2020 a fantastic year, and I think it's going to be a great year in 2021. And everybody that's joining us, hit that like button. Just hit that like button, and that helps this video get out there because we have an important topic, and that is no extradition for Julian Assange. But before we get going, we have Alexander Mercurius in London, where the decision was made in the UK. And he has all the inside information. He's talked to everybody, guys. You are going to be getting just about the most inside information you can possibly get on Assange. So hit that like, share this video out, because the information that Alexander is going to give you, you're not going to find it anywhere else. Alexander Mercurius, the Oracle of London. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Well, happy New Year, Alex, and happy New Year to all our viewers. May I just add my words to yours? This is going to be a great year, 2021, for the Durant, but I'm sure it'll also be a much better, perhaps a wonderful year for all our viewers too. I think many of the clouds that settled over 2020 are going to start lifting, and we're going to be moving forward to better outcomes altogether. And I think the way this year has started, with Julian Assange looking likely to be freed on Wednesday from detention, he will be a free man, or at least a man able to go about a normal life, reunited with his family, in effect for the first time in 12 years. So think of that. So that's going to be a big, big thing, and it's going to come very soon. And that's a wonderful way to start the new year, and a promise of better.
The floor, Alexander, I don't have any questions. The floor is yours. Everyone knows the news by now. No extradition. The headline is UK judge, no extradition for Julian Assange to the United States. Give us the goods.
Well, first of all, I will say a few things, which is that we've been obviously following the case very closely and this hearing very closely. And I've been sensing for some time that this case wasn't going the US's way. I say the US, I should paraphrase that. I should say the US deep state's way, because it's absolutely clear to me where this has been coming from. It's been coming from inside the deep state itself, from the intelligence community, the national security bureaucracy, some people in the Justice Department, some people in the State Department, those sort of people. Certainly not Donald Trump, by the way, and I'm going to come to that, because one of the most interesting revelations that came out of the judgment today, this is the judgment that District Judge Vanessa Baritza made, in which she's decided that Julian Assange should not be extradited to the United States, is that it's absolutely clear now that despite some of the things we've been hearing, Barack Obama's Justice Department was the one which initiated the criminal case the United States has brought against Julian Assange. She absolutely discounted the stories that Barack Obama had been advised not to pursue Julian Assange, and that the Obama Justice Department had dropped the case against Assange. On the contrary, it was ongoing throughout the time when Obama was president, after Obama's Justice Department initiated it. So all those stories you've been hearing about how Obama was worried about rights of journalists, was concerned about free speech, therefore decided that the case against Julian Assange should not be pursued. Judge Baritza poured cold water over all of that. She also said during the judgment, and this is really quite remarkable, that she got the very strong impression after analysing Donald Trump's actions, he's actually quite sympathetic to Assange, personally sympathetic. He wasn't involved directly in the proceedings himself, and certainly there's no suggestion that he was doing it as any kind of quid pro quo between himself and Assange, but that he's always looked upon Assange with some sympathy. Now, those are just historic points. Let's now look at this particular judgment. What Judge Baritza has done is that she's come to realise that there are a lot of people in Britain and internationally who are very unhappy about this case against Assange, that Assange himself has become something of a hero. So I think for that reason alone, she was probably uneasy about greenlighting his extradition to the US. And she was clearly very concerned, as all of us have been, about his health, his mental health situation. She considers him clearly a serious suicide risk. And she completely discounted the possibility that if he was extradited to the US, that the US justice system and the US prison system would be able to ensure his life. Remarkably, and this is something I completely did not expect, she referred to Jeffrey Epstein's suicide. She mentioned the fact that, you know, if the US justice system and the US prison system couldn't protect Jeffrey Epstein, what chance was there that they could protect Julian Assange? She also mentioned in this part of the judgment that there is great hostility to Julian Assange on the part of the intelligence community and the national security state of the US. So for all those grounds, she decided that he should not be extradited to the US. However, there is another side to this, and this is rather a disturbing side. She also said that the British do have the power, if they wish, to extradite people to the United States on political charges which have a political bearing. Now, that is new and very disturbing and very troubling. And she also went through all the various charges that the US government has brought against Julian Assange, and she appeared to support all of them. She seemed to give indications that he was indeed guilty of computer hacking and had engaged in some kind of a conspiracy to steal classified information via hacks with Chelsea Manning. By the way, I disagree on both counts. And she also seemed to take the view that Julian Assange's actions have put in danger US intelligence sources, though she didn't provide any evidence of that, because she admitted that, in fact, there isn't any actual evidence. She also made certain extraordinary claims, at least I found them rather worrying claims, about the constitutional and legal protections Julian Assange would get if he were sent to the United States and put on trial there. But as I said, in the end, she refused to extradite him to the US because she accepts that he is an unwell man, and she clearly doesn't think he would survive in the prison system of the US, which he described in very stark terms, and citing Jeffrey Epstein as an example, questioned whether he would live very long if he was sent to the US. So on those grounds, she has refused his extradition.
What happens now?
Right. The US government has said they're going to appeal that decision. I wonder whether they will push with it, because to be frank, I think this kind of decision where the judge says things about a person's health and about the prison system of the United States, these are what we call, what lawyers call, findings of fact, and appeal courts are very, very reluctant to interfere with those. So I would have thought an appeal is hopeless. But nonetheless, the US says it will appeal the decision. Julian Assange's lawyers are applying for an immediate order for his release. The court will consider that. That's to say, Judge Baritza will consider that on Wednesday. And there's a high probability that he will be released on Wednesday. So there is still some way to go. There will still be proceedings in the appeal courts, in the high court. But most probably, overwhelmingly likely, he will be a free man on Wednesday. He will be a free man, but of course, he still has the worry that a British judge has now said that he committed criminal offences in the United States. And that must always make him concerned about what might happen if the United States were to pursue him in some other way. So one point I would also make, which is that there's been a lot of discussion about Donald Trump giving Julian Assange a pardon. I think that the situation is now almost set up for that, because Donald Trump can legitimately argue that Julian Assange needs a pardon and should not be pursued in further with further cases, because he is obviously an unwell man. A British judge has said that. And at the same time, there is still an outstanding case against Julian Assange. So that gives Donald Trump a reason to pardon him. So Donald Trump can both pardon him because there's a reason to do so, and he can pardon him because on health grounds, there is a strong justification for him to do so. And I strongly urge Donald Trump, if he's in any way aware of what we say, to do that. I think he will get a lot of credit if he does. And I think that would probably be the best possible way to bring a final end to this affair.
Okay, so if they free Assange, if he's allowed to leave, he has to stay in the UK, though, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, he would have to stay. There would be bail conditions. There would be conditions attached to his bail. Now, I'm sure, again, I mean, I can't be absolutely certain about this, but I am reasonably sure that on Wednesday he will be freed on bail, because the judge has already said that he's unwell and ill. And, of course, she's actually discharged him. She says that there's no grounds to extradite him. She won't extradite him. She won't clear his extradition. So why keep him in detention any longer? I think that for that reason, he will almost certainly be freed on Wednesday and will be able to be reunited with his family, his wife and children.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's incredible news.
It is incredible news. Can I just say something? I said that the judge decided the case on the law very heavily in the US's favor. The reason that Assange is now, you know, within sight of being free, I think there's two reasons. Firstly, I think the facts about his ill health and about the dangers to him in the US prison system are absolutely real. And I think the judge is absolutely right about those. And it's fascinating how she brought up the subject of Jeffrey Epstein. I think the US authorities will be very, very upset and annoyed about that, by the way. But the second thing is, it would not have happened if there had not been this upswing of support from Julian Assange, from so many people in Britain and around the world. This is the kind of case which was decided in the end on humanitarian grounds. And it's that only, in my experience, happens when people come out and campaign for someone in the way that they have been doing. So it is a huge win for the people of Britain and the people around the world who have been going out campaigning, addressing cold and drafty halls, as I've done, doing programs like this one, writing letters, making social media posts, all those kind of things. That battle those people have been fighting has won this victory today.
What should the Australian government do?
Excellent question. They should invite him to Australia and make it absolutely clear to the United States that they're not going to extradite him to the United States in light of the decision the British court has made. And they should welcome him back to his own country so that he can live there his life with his family and, by the way, carry on with his important work as a journalist, which he has been doing.
Could the UK political class that is in bed with the deep state and the neocons and the neoliberals and that political class that has ties to the Obama political machine and the Clinton political machine, apply pressure to the UK legal system so they keep him in prison, don't free him? Is that possible?
Yes, of course there is. I mean, undoubtedly they can, but can I just say something else? There is the countervailing pressure that is coming from popular opinion. And by the way, I should say that as I live in Britain and I'm sort of, there has been a major turn in public opinion over the last few months over Julian Assange's case. A year ago, people were not so interested. As this year has as last year progressed, as 2020 progressed, you saw more and more people suddenly beginning to realize that this was a serious case, this was an important case, this was an act of terrible injustice being done against an individual. And you were starting to see people coming out and speaking and talking about it. And it was being mentioned to MPs and mentioned in letters to newspapers and things of that kind. So that countervailing pressure is pressure that the court is also aware of. So yes, they have the pressure from the political class. It's always there, but they also have the pressure of popular opinion. And I'm going to say also that the judiciary at the moment, the British judiciary, there are people within it who prize their independence, who understand what their duties as judges are. And I think they would be extremely reluctant both to keep Julian Assange in prison in light of this judgment and to uphold the appeal that the US government says it wants to bring. So I think that overall, the war is not completely won where Julian Assange is concerned, but I think he's won a very big battle and I expect him to win the war here in the end and at the end of this process to be a free man.
Okay, so assuming that Assange gets out and he's free, and he has to remain in the UK, does the I mean, he's obviously not a normal everyday person that can just, you know, walk down Oxford Street and go about his business. What security or what is that provided? Is that going to be provided on a private basis? Does the UK government provide any type of security or something? I mean, how does he go about his everyday life, assuming he has to stay in the UK, but he can roam around London? I mean, what happens?
Right. The British authorities will not provide him with any protection at all. If anybody is going to protect him, it will have to be done privately. And obviously there are worries about snatch squads, though I have to say, I think that would create some sort of, I think the British government would not welcome it if the US were to send, you know, some CIA people here with and they would have drug Assange and put him in a box and fly him to the US or something like that. I think the British would feel very humiliated and angry if something like that were to happen. And it wouldn't go down well with the British public at all. So, but always there is that worry. But there is a further worry because, of course, the judge has also said, and it's important to remember this, that many of the things that Julian Assange was alleged by the US to have done would be illegal if proved to be true, and would be illegal in Britain also. And that will surely limit the scope of his work as a journalist in future. She basically insinuated that he was a hacker. I don't think there's any truth to that allegation, by the way, but that's essentially what she said.
Okay, I was going to ask you that because it's fantastic news, everything that we've learned today, fantastic news. But the judge did leave that door open for not only Assange, but any and every journalist to be prosecuted.
The
Trump White House is not gonna do anything outside of pardon him.
No,
that's my feeling. That's my gut feeling.
No,
but God forbid, Biden weasels his way into the White House, which is essentially just Obama third term.
Yeah,
and Obama is the person that was driving for the persecution, the prosecution of Assange. We know that now. Obama was once again the man pulling the strings, which would lead me to believe that Obama would take advantage of this UK judge's ruling and then go after Assange again, correct?
Absolutely right. I mean, that's entirely possible. If Assange appears to recover his health and seems a well man, and the US carries out some token changes to its prison system, and Assange resumes some of the work that he's done in the past, or, the US reactivates its criminal case against him once they say that he is well, he risks, under a Biden administration, being sent back to the US, not just Assange, by the way. Any journalist working in Britain now who does the kind of things that Assange did, which, to be very clear, are the sort of things investigative journalists regularly do, now is under threat of being extradited to the United States, or indeed, on the strength of this judgment, being prosecuted in Britain under the Official Secrets Act. So, this is a very big win for Assange, but not an unqualified one. And it's a very bad decision for journalism. Journalists have lost a great deal from this, and possibly, if the US pursues this appeal, the High Court might be prepared to water some of that down. But overall, for investigative journalism in Britain, this decision is bad news.
Yeah, I'm looking at the live stream, and I think Phil sums it up best. He says the judge ruled on health grounds, not on freedom of the press.
Exactly. That is exactly right. a freedom of the absolutely right. Freedom of the press, the First Amendment and all that, it seems to have gone out of the window. It's just not something that the judge really was out to protect at all. On the contrary, she restricted it. She found in the US government's favor. And I'm going to say something. I'm not convinced that at the end of the day, the US is indeed going to pursue an appeal, because obviously there's a lot of anger and even loathing of Assange on the part of the deep state in the US. But if they can put that aside, the deep state will go away and they'll be saying to themselves, well, actually, we got most of what we wanted out of this case. We didn't get Assange himself. We haven't put him in a dungeon in the way that we did with Chelsea Manning and kept him there indefinitely, which is what we wanted. But in future, anybody who tries to do the sort of things that Assange did, we can come after, or we can get our friends in the deep state in London to do it for us. So I think the US deep state may say to themselves, perhaps better in our own interests not to pursue this by way of appeal, just in case the High Court takes a slightly different view to the judge on these issues, this judge on these issues, and, you know, wash our hands of Assange, but keep all the rest in store and use it later when we need to. So I'm not convinced they are going to pursue an appeal, and I'm sure that there are people within the legal system in Britain who are advising them not to pursue the appeal. I don't see what they would gain by pursuing an appeal myself.
Yeah, this is a really interesting case, because at the end of the day, the deep state lost when all is said and done. They lost. Assange has won, even though the judgment, as Phil correctly pointed out, was based on humanitarian reasons, not on freedom of the press reasons, which leads me to believe that even though the deep state lost and Obama lost and Clinton lost, and all these guys lost, they also have won in a way, because at the end of the day, the message they wanted to get out to journalists was exactly what you said. If you dare reveal the truth about all the crap that we do around the world, if you dare reveal it, then we are going to go after you and you are going to suffer in much the same way that Assange suffered. And of course, most people, you know, probably won't be able to put up with what Assange has to endure, with what Assange has endured. That's a fact. I mean, the fact that he made it this far is incredible. The message that they wanted to get out, and they have gotten that message out.
Exactly. I think this is going to scare a lot of people in journalism. And I think this is a battle that will need to be fought and won if freedom of the press, real, genuine freedom of the press, is going to be secured. What we have seen in America, and I'm sorry to say in Britain also, over the last 4 or 5 years, is that freedom of the press has been steadily eroded and undermined, and to the extent that it still exists, has been twisted and manipulated for really very dangerous purposes. This judgment is another step in that direction. It's a great decision for Julian Assange. Great decision for Julian Assange. It's wonderful that he's going to be free, as I expect. It's wonderful he's going to be reunited with his family. But everyone else needs to be worried and concerned that another part of democracy, which is the freedom of the press, has just been eroded. I mean, the real freedom of the press, the freedom to carry out true investigative journalism and to reveal the terrible secrets that governments and deep states try to hide from us.
All right. Does Julian Assange, is there that possibility that Julian Assange or his legal team, I don't know, kind of says, you know, let's not risk this. Let's get out of here. I mean, is that possible? Let's go. I mean, I'm looking at the live stream. Some people say, yeah, you got to get to Russia, for example. Because in this this strange world that we live in, Russia is probably the place that'll protect them best. Just an example, say Russia, because it's noted. Does that even factor into Julian Assange or his team's, you know, calculus at all? Or is it, don't worry, we're going to stay in the UK and we're going to see this out to the end?
I think the lawyers will be strongly advising Assange, if he thinks anything like that, just to see this out to the end by staying in Britain and fighting this through. Because if he runs off to Russia or someplace like that, well, if he goes to Russia, he is going to be very heavily compromised and it'll be very difficult for him to retain a lot of the credibility that he has, because frankly, there's all these stories that he's already working for the Russians, and escaping to Russia would appear to confirm that. He goes anywhere else in the world, he's probably less safe than he is in Britain now. Because let's say he goes to Australia before this appeal process is finished, or he goes to France, or he goes to Germany, or he goes to Ecuador, or he goes to Brazil, or wherever. There's nothing to prevent the US coming after him there. And with the appeal process undecided, and with him having broken his bail conditions, which he would almost certainly be doing, I think he would be in considerable jeopardy. So I think from a legal point of view, and indeed in his own best interests, he should stay in Britain for the few months that are remaining until this appeal process is concluded and the British government makes the final decision not to extradite him. And then he is free to go wherever he likes. Even then, he needs to be very careful where he goes, because, of course, the US could still come after him. And even then, I think he probably shouldn't go to Russia. I understand, by the way, he's told various people that he knows that he's absolutely under no circumstances going to go to Russia. So because he understands what the effect of that on him, on his credibility as a journalist would be. So I think he needs to stay in Britain until this process is over. If he then decides to go somewhere, he's got to be very careful where it is that he decides to go.
Does he go, if he's free, does he go back to work? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I've tried to go back to WikiLeaks.
I've no doubt that is exactly what he's going to do. I mean, his vocation is that of a journalist. I mean, it's not just his career, it's his vocation also. It's what he loves doing, it's what gives him purpose. And I am sure that is what he's going to do. I've heard no one I've spoken to who knows him thinks otherwise.
And finally, Alexander, what about Sweden? Do they have anything pending on Assange, or has that been whatever cases they had? Has that stuff been dropped or forgotten?
It's all been dropped. I can't say it's forgotten, but there's no way conceivably it could be revived now. My understanding of this, by the way, again, I've spoken to people. I can't say which people. I've spoken to people who have some knowledge of this, that the Swedish judiciary, the judges in Sweden, are very embarrassed by the role that Sweden has played in this affair, and they will not be starting anything against Assange now.
Is there any other information that you can share with us?
Well, I should say this is a bit of a surprise. This decision didn't quite turn out the way people expected it would. I mean, most people thought that it would turn on freedom of the press. So that has been a surprise. I know there is concern amongst a lot of people about what the judgment itself contains. But I think there is also some concern, if I can put it like this, that Julian Assange himself might want to challenge this judgment in the High Court on the freedom of the press issues, which he cares passionately about. But if he does do that, I think the strong advice everyone will give him is don't do that. You're on the brink of freedom now. Don't jeopardize it by failing to uphold on appeal that judgment which has made you free. In other words, don't attack that judgment which has made you free uphold it instead, fight off the US if they try to bring in an appeal, get back to work, get back together with your family, get back together with your children and your father, and resume your work as you can and see this appeal process through. Julian Assange, by the way, everybody says this. I'm not giving away any great secret here. He's a very, very difficult person to advise. He is very strong on principles. He always does what he believes is the right thing. And he's prepared to take enormous punishment in pursuit of that. So he will do what he considers right, as opposed to what others tell him is best for him. But I hope in this case, he does listen to that advice, because by doing so, he will, I think, first be protecting himself and his family, but also paving the way for the next battles, which are sure to come.
Boy, I bet that Clinton and Obama are seething right now.
Absolutely. Well, indeed they are. And can I say that for me was one of the most interesting things in the judgment. There was this article in the Washington Post of a couple of years ago, which has been cited and recited and recited again and again and again, that Eric Holder supposedly told Barack Obama, we can't bring a case against Assange because he's a journalist. He's protected by the First Amendment. If we bring a case and it succeeds, then we undermine the position of other journalists. Well, the judge clearly doesn't believe that. She doesn't believe that story. She went through what the Obama White House, the Obama administration and the Obama Justice Department had been doing in preparing and developing and persisting with the case they brought against Julian Assange. They had the grand jury. They were doing all the investigations. All of that was going on during Obama's time. So that story in the Washington Post was another example of Obama misdirection, doing one thing in secret and telling his friends in the media that he was doing something else.
Yeah. Chances that Trump pardons. What are the chances that Trump pardons? Because the timing of this is all very interesting.
Much bigger, I think, now than they've ever been. Because, as I say, Trump has both the reason to pardon him, because it says that this case is still outstanding and it's still there. And he's got the justification to pardon him, because the British judge has said that he's so ill, in fact, that she won't agree to have him extradited to the US. So he's got every good reason to pardon Assange and bring, at least for a time, an end to this affair. The one thing I will say is that obviously Donald Trump is at the moment involved in a big battle where he needs all the support he can get in Congress and elsewhere. So I think he will probably wait for a couple of days to let those battles play themselves out before he makes any big move towards pardoning Assange. But as we said many times on these programs, Donald Trump is nothing if not unpredictable. And I think he might do it. I think quite a good chance he may do it soon, and a much better chance now that he will do it eventually.
Let's hope so. And the fake news mainstream media must also be completely seething at this news. They must be very upset, because now you're going to have Assange back. You're going to have WikiLeaks in full strength. And the mainstream media fake news compared to WikiLeaks, well, you know, what can you say? It's a complete embarrassment for the fake news mainstream media, BBC, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, all of them must be, Rachel Maddow, Chris Cuomo, they all must be completely upset as to what's happening now that Assange is going to be free, because Assange makes them look like the bozos and the hacks that they truly are. What do you think of that?
I think that's absolutely true. And can I just say something else? One of the most disturbing parts of the judgment was when the judge went through that section where she decided in the US government's favor on the freedom of press points, she was actually quoting from one newspaper after another, the Washington Post, the Guardian, the New York Times. She actually quoted whole extracts from what they'd been writing to prove that Assange had acted in a way that deserved his extradition to the US. So, you know, they need to read that judgment and think very carefully about what they almost did, and also think very carefully about the way doing that has, in effect, laid the groundwork for the US authorities in the future to bring proceedings against newspapers in the US, journalists in the US who engage in investigative reporting, by saying the First Amendment doesn't provide you with the protections that you thought it did. So the media must be seething. They made it obvious, by the way, that they hate Assange. They really loathe him. They, by acting out on that loathing, they nearly brought about his extradition to the US. Perhaps that's what they wanted, but they have also set up the scaffold upon which one day they might themselves be hanged.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. They're such puppets. They've already, you know what? They've already sold their soul. There's nothing left to take from them. Whatever there is to take from them, they've already sold it out. So,
well, that is true. But what the advice lawyers always give to clients who think like that, they said, well, you know, you may be absolutely certain that what was done to someone else will never be done to you because you always do what you are told, but you can never be completely sure. You might do something inadvertently that annoys someone in power, at which point, of course, all this machinery is now in place for the US authorities to come down on you. And that's what they've done. So they've put themselves in a position of legal vulnerability, which didn't exist until now. I say that, I must qualify, this is a fairly low court. It's a lower court decision. It's not a decision made by the US courts. So, you know, it's obviously open to future interpretation and future legal battle. But having said that, it's worrying and alarming that we've got to that point at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do some super chats. Alexander, we have a lot of questions. We have a good amount of questions here. Mm. Let's knock some of these super chats out. From Toilet Sauce, the ruling appears to me to be an effort to save face. This case was becoming too much of an embarrassment for the West. Now they can say, look, how humane of us, human rights and the usual drivel.
I think that's actually a very good point. And I think a lot of people are saying that. And I think Toilet Sauce is making a very insightful and proper point. If that is correct, then it comes back to the point I made before. All that campaigning on Julian Assange's behalf has made a huge difference, because that is what has made the case embarrassing. If nobody had cared about him, if people had not been worried and concerned and prepared to speak out and protest about what was being done to him, there would have been no embarrassment and the decision today would have been different.
What is what's Boris's position on Assange? What's Keir Starmer's position on Assange? And Corbyn, I believe, was supportive of Assange.
Yes, Corbyn, in his usual weak, dithery way, was supportive of Assange, but did absolutely nothing to help him, which is very typical of Jeremy Corbyn. Boris Johnson has said nothing. And Keir Starmer was head of the British Crown Prosecution Service. That's Britain's equivalent, if you like, of the investigative arm of the Justice Department. which supported the Swedish case against Assange. I mean, he was the head of the CPS when the Swedish case was brought. So Jeremy Corbyn, a weak friend, Boris Johnson, we don't know, and Keir Starmer, I would say an enemy.
All right. From Flying Boar, Super Chat says, Trump should pardon Assange, Snowden, and give a big FU to the deep state on his way out.
Completely agree. Entirely agree. I don't, personally, we've discussed this. I don't see what the downside for Trump in doing that is. I mean, I can see why he might need some support in Congress over the next few days, and he might lose some of that support if he were to sort of give out pardons like that now. But I think once we've got past that point, I think he would gain much more than he loses. In fact, I can't see that he would lose very much at all. I think he'd only gain by giving those pardons. And I hope he does.
All right. From Toilet Sauce, 20 euro super chat. Delicious irony. The U.S. has to appeal by January the 19th. Biden inauguration on the 20th. It was Biden's crime bill that created the mess of a prison system because of which Assange will not be extradited.
That is a profoundly good point. That's an excellent point. Can I also say, again, when I read the judgment and I saw the reference there to Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, my eyes nearly popped out of my head. I was astonished that a British judge would bring up that particular case in this one.
Incredible, incredible turn of events. I agree. Yeah. From Fern Balin, SEK 50, why don't you cover the shutdown of the Swedish YouTube channel Sweb TV by Google? We are looking into it. I've read the Reclaim the Net articles, and yeah. We'll try to get something out on that story. Needless to say, all this censorship and stuff is,
yes,
it's way out of control.
It is way out of control. And I'm afraid the judgment that was made today in the Assange case, this is obviously a separate issue. I mean, this is about censorship, if you like, of traditional media and actions by the state authorities in a way that, you know, social media censorship is a different thing. But having said that, it's all part of a general trend that we are seeing now to limit free speech and free reporting and free media, social media or independent media, mainstream media, call it whatever. That seems to be the growing trend now. And we really do need, if we are going to continue living in democracies, to push back on it hard, because that's the danger. We won't all get the kind of support that Assange did.
All right. From West Kieran, five euros. Thank you very much for that. From Elaine Maxson, 5 euros. Just a huge thank you to both of you. Thank you very much, Elaine, for that. And from Mark Hewitt, given the Harry Dunn case, if the CIA did snatch Assange off the streets of London, the explosion of anti-Americanism in the UK will explode.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think a lot of British people would be extremely upset and very angry if something like this was done. By the way, it's very interesting to see who supports Assange and who doesn't. In Britain, it's very striking that it is people at the lower end of the social scale, if I can put it that way. I don't like those kind of words, but working people are the people who are the bedrock of support for Julian Assange. They're the people, by the way, who voted Brexit, and their equivalents in the United States are the people who voted Donald Trump. Sophisticated intellectuals of a liberal inclination, using my words very carefully now, are among Julian Assange's enemies and critics.
It's the theme of 2020, 2019, 20, the class war.
Absolutely.
The leader, the globalist against the people. That's
absolutely.
Assange is a perfect case in point.
Absolutely. That is exactly correct. And by the way, I've seen this myself. I've seen who comes out to protests. I've seen who drives past, the Old Bailey and honks on their horns, their support, in their car horns, their support for Assange. I've seen who puts the stickers up on their windows. And you can always tell, you can always get a very good sense of the social profile of those people. And it's very striking. Whereas if we go back to the events of the summer, if you remember who was protesting then in Britain and in the United States, those people weren't concerned with Julian Assange at all.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Do we have any more super chats? No, we cleared those out. Awesome. Alexander, real quick, a thought. I'm looking at the live stream. I see Chelsea Manning there. I see Snowden. God, Obama just was a complete disaster when it came to journalism and free speech. I mean, all these people, everything that we see going on is all Obama. All of it is Obama.
It is. I would invite people to read the judgment. It's not openly critical of him, but it's again this example, this constant example that Obama always gives of being, liberal, tolerant person who always does things in an appropriate way, the Democrat, the anti-authoritarian. And the reality is exactly the opposite. He was pursuing Assange in private and getting his friends to plant stories in the Washington Post, which basically let him off. And it wasn't true. It simply wasn't true. The entire case against Assange began under Obama. It had nothing to do with Donald Trump. And that's one of the most interesting things.
Everything. Snowden's met
All of it. Every one of it. Exactly.
Jeez. All right. Let's see. We have a couple more super chats here. Michelle Corley, hey guys, $5 super chat. Hey Michelle, how are you? Thank you very much for that super chat. And from Gleska News on 50 pound super chat. Awesome. Thank you, Gleska News.
Wow.
Loving the videos that you guys are doing. Guys, check out Gleska News' channel. They put up really, really good videos. On a day when we in Scotland go on full lockdown, it's great news about Julian. Happy New Year's to Alex and Alexander from Gleska News. Thank you very much, Gleska News. Happy New Year's to you as well. And once again, guys, check out Gleska News' YouTube channel as well. I'm subscribed to it. The Durant is subscribed to it. And it's a cool channel. What else, Alexander, do we have to discover? I think we covered the case pretty well. Is there anything else? Let everybody know?
I mean, one of the things I would quickly say is, the judge in her judgment is 130 pages long. She skims through it at phenomenal speed, and she says that she's not really going to deal with the evidence. I mean, I don't think she was paying much attention to the evidence at all, because so many of her findings on the computer hacking and all that show either a complete lack of understanding of what was even being alleged or a complete indifference to what the evidence said. So I do get the sense that the judge had decided or had been persuaded. I use these words very carefully. I have to be very careful what I say here. Had been persuaded to let Assange out on humanitarian grounds and wasn't really interested in probing too deeply the freedom of speech issue, the freedom of press issues, because she wanted basically to give the US all that it wanted there without really opening herself up for an appeal. So in a way, a bit of a manipulative judgment, because by releasing Assange on humanitarian grounds, she's able to say things on the freedom of press issues that are not factually or even legally supported but do it in a way that it will not be challenged on appeal. If she had found against Assange on those points, then Assange would have appealed it to the High Court, and the High Court might have come along and said that the judge was wrong on the freedom of press points. So there is something slightly manipulative about this. It's a great news that Assange is free, but there is something about this judgment that leaves a sour taste.
Yeah, well, she covered herself, I think.
Absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely.
All right. From Lil Panda says, feel free to move to Norway. Love you guys. Oh, thank you. I'd love to move to Norway.
I would
hopefully
too,
we can travel soon.
Wonderful country.
One of these days we'll be able to get on a plane again.
Absolutely.
From Ed from Toilet Sauce. Let me find that super chat real quick. I saw it just down there. It disappeared. Yeah, here it is. Can't remember who, but someone suggested making Obama Supreme Court judge. Was that in part in anticipation of Assange's extradition?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I was reading today that there's all sorts of rumors that, Biden's going to make him AG, Attorney General, in preparation for elevating him to the Supreme Court. Rather a disturbing thought that there we go. And that, I'm not saying that would just specifically or entirely have been about Assange, but my goodness, imagine if Obama, were Chief Justice Obama on the Supreme Court, where the case relating to Assange were to come before him. By the way, I think it's a disastrously bad idea. I mean, a former president should never become a member of the Supreme Court.
All right, a super chat from American Rebel says, Happy New Year, gents. Appreciate your work. Thank you very much, American Rebel. And Alexander, let's end it there. We got the super chats, we got the questions, we covered the story. And just one quick qualifier, because I saw on the live stream, some people were asking, Assange is not technically free yet,
no.
But hopefully, fingers crossed,
Wednesday.
That will happen soon.
Yeah, Wednesday's the date of the bail hearing. And as I said, I'm reasonably confident he will be freed then. One can never be 100% sure about anything.
What happens if the bail, what does that mean if he's not freed? What, he just stays?
He stays in Belmarsh, but well, goodness knows, that's the point. Because, I mean, the judge has said that he shouldn't be extradited. He's not got any sentence for any British case conviction. He's only in prison because of the extradition. And she's found against his extradition. And she's also said that he's ill. So on what basis do you keep him in prison in that case?
All right.
I'll see him.
Okay, so Wednesday is a big, big day, guys.
Very, very big.
Georgia, Wednesday is a very big day, and we'll be reporting on what's going on with Congress, with the Georgia vote, with Assange. Probably Wednesday, Thursday, we'll probably be back with you guys live. Sparky is in the house, and he sent a super chat here, which says, technical scientific issues add complexity to cases which courts are rarely equipped for.
I think that is true, but I would also say, and I really do think this, that at the same time, the judge had the benefit of very high quality expert witnesses. So she clearly wasn't able to follow their evidence very well, because even I was able to follow it. So there we are. And I'm, as many people will tell you, not a very technically minded sort of person.
All right. And Little Panda Cub says they're going to move him to a mental hospital, I guess in reference if they keep him if they vote against the bail.
Well, I think not, actually, because that wasn't the basis of the decision. The judge said that he is partially autistic, but high functioning, and that he suffers from depression. But she didn't say that he's mentally ill in the sense that he would need to be detained. There is a very complex procedure in Britain for putting people in mental hospitals. It has to be done by having them, as we say in Britain, sectioned under the Mental Health Act. And you have to show that they would be a risk both to themselves, a physical risk, both to them, or either to themselves or to the public. And I don't really think that would really succeed with Assange. And by the way, there would have to be a legal process as well. So his lawyers would no doubt have much to say about that.
All right. Okay, we will leave it there. Guys, thank you very much for joining us on this live stream. I'm very curious to see if Boris Johnson comes out with a statement, and I'm very curious to see if the Australian government comes out with a statement.
Will indeed.
Today or tomorrow.
I would be extremely curious to see. And I should say, by the way, Australia has not behaved well in this affair. Let's hope they now start behaving better.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll leave it there. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on this live stream and on the breaking news with Assange. Please hit that like as well and share this video. Share the news out with everybody. Thank you to all the super chats. Thank you to all your questions and comments. We really appreciate it. Alexander, any final words before we sign off for today?
No, just to say again, without all that campaigning, the outcome today, I am sure, would have been different. So people who argued and spoke out for Assange, this is your day. This is the day of your victory.
All right. Okay, everybody, take care. Yeah.